All right, welcome everybody. You are listening to Simplify Complexity, your relationship podcast. My name is Pastor B. Wallace, and I am sitting here with Miss Dana Tyler. She is our guest host for today, filling in for Keontae McDonald. Say hello.
Hello, good people.
All right. So I'm really thankful because we've been trying to connect for a little while.
Yes.
It was actually early this year that we were introduced through Chris Santos. What's up, Chris?
And we love Chris Santos and the College Church.
The College Church. And he told me, man, you gotta meet Dana, you gotta meet her. This is just an awesome woman of God. She has a great testimony.
A testimony?
Yes, you do have a testimony. So we're gonna get into that. So I definitely want to hear that. And so we're excited. We've talked about meeting, getting you on this podcast. You are the author of Kingdom Courting.
Yes.
And a couple other books. Mm-hmm. And so you could talk about that maybe toward the end.
Sure.
But we're going to focus in today. We're going to talk about Kingdom Courting. And we're going to do a two-part. So for those that are listening, I want to encourage you to check out the second part. Because on the second part, we're going to talk a little bit about just positive thinking, especially in the aspect of relationships. And what that can do for us and how maybe the negative thoughts can really hurt us. But for the first part, we're going to talk about Kingdom Courting. We're going to talk about singleness. And so I want to start off, Dana, I want you just to kind of tell us a little bit, what drew you to have a heart for singles, to write this book, Kingdom Courting?
Well, actually, I inherited the singles ministry when my husband passed away.
Okay. All right.
He was killed in a motorcycle accident about 6 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. And so the person who was over the singles ministry at the time, she was planning to get married, so she was engaged, and they said, well, who can we give the singles ministry to? And so it kind of fell into my lap.
Okay.
And I thought, good Lord, what is singles ministry? Like, what do we need singles ministry for? Like, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. I didn't even realize singles needed a ministry, but what is that going to look
like? That's just, you know, that's how God works sometimes. He just thrusts you into one thing. You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And then as I became more involved with singles ministry, I realized that the people of God needed a little bit more direction concerning dating.
Okay.
You know, we recognize that
we're so good to go when it comes to dating. I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, we're not awkward at all with all this craziness. You know, someone says hello and that's my husband. I'm like, oh, Lord, have mercy. And, you know, we recognize that we can't date the way we dated in the world. You know, can't go to the club. Can't, you know, buy.
You can't?
No,
I'm
can't,
just joking.
Can't go
if
to
you're
the
listening,
club.
Please. I'm just joking. Okay.
But we just needed.
Like, Pastor said I can go to the club. No, I did not say that.
No, Pastor B didn't say go to the club. But I realized that we needed a little bit more direction. And then I realized that there's such a stigma attached to being single.
Okay.
And after my husband passed, I think the single most question I got asked was, mm-hmm. why are you still single? Why are you single? Like, being single was the worst thing on the face of the planet. And I still haven't figured out how to answer that question. Like, why are you single?
Sometimes it's just like an icebreaker. They don't know what to say.
Right.
And they just assume that you're not fulfilled, that you're not happy.
Exactly.
So it's definitely an assumption.
And there was also, there was one irritating pastor who said something really stupid to me.
We're going to say him by name. So.
No, we're not going to mention his name, but his initials aren't. No, I'm kidding. one of the things he said as I was actually preparing to teach this course for the very first time is, you know, he said, I thought you were married. And I said, yeah, I was married. But, you know, my husband passed away. And I said, why would they put a married person over the singles ministry? And he said, well, single people don't know anything.
I
thought, really? I'm a well-educated Black woman, got a good career. I've raised two glorious daughters who love the Lord and are away at college, but I don't know anything because I'm not married anymore.
Yeah.
Really? So I started to really hear the cry of lonely singles, people who are depressed sometimes, mm-hmm. people who feel like they're not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to take that course and turn it into a book.
Yeah. All right. And I was kind of looking at your book. I had an opportunity to read it, so I was really excited.
Yay!
And it was really awesome. And so I think some of the points, and you mentioned some of the things that you just mentioned now, but one of the points that you say is how people would say you're nobody until somebody loves you.
Yes.
And that low self-esteem a little bit. And so
yes.
Maybe somebody listening to this might be single and kind of dealing with some of that low self-esteem. So how would you address that?
Don't let people diminish who you are just because of your marital status.
Yeah, yeah.
just don't let them do it. And it's so easy, you know, to get wrapped up in, you know, it's better to marry than to burn. And, you know, there's all this urgency to get married. Yeah. And, but really, if one of the things that I say to do in the book mm-hmm. is to find that fulfillment in various friendships, I always recommend that you look for validation. You know, everybody wants validation. We all want praise. We all want to be valued. So I suggest that you find that validation in multiple sound godly friendships.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, I have a friend, we'll call him Joel.
Okay.
He validates my beauty. I have a friend, we'll call him Obadiah.
Yeah.
He validates my intelligence.
Okay.
I have a friend, we'll call her Nehemiah. She validates my anointing.
Yeah.
So that when someone comes along who starts to tell you how wonderful you are, you know, you're not necessarily looking for them to fulfill every part of you, and you're not feeling like there's a void in your life because there's no one to tell you that you're beautiful or that you're attractive or that you're loved.
And as you say that, it's so important. It's one of the things that I encourage as well is community.
Yes.
Having a community around you is critical. And oftentimes we find people, especially when they get into relationships, that they are nowhere to be found, meaning they it's just right. them two, and all of a sudden they were there at church, and
right.
they
hook
all
up. Hugged up,
yeah,
and
then all of a sudden it's like, where'd they go? Then they'll
again.
Come back to like 3-4 months later, and,
right.
and all kinds of things have happened in the 3 or 4 months.
Exactly.
But now, as you mentioned, having these friends and these friendships, this community that builds you up and validates you, that's also can be tricky.
It can
because,
be tricky.
And one of the things that you talk about is boundaries.
Yes.
And you even point to the book Boundaries, which is an awesome book.
Yes.
But sometimes we struggle with boundaries there as we're having friends. So as you mentioned, was it Joel? How'd you say that?
Yeah, Joel.
Joel.
You know, Joel Amos Obadiah.
Okay, so Joel. So you're friends with Joel.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of your community.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we can begin to cross boundaries
right.
with those friendships.
Right.
And so how would you address that? So as you're saying, you have your community and you're dealing with being singleness, you're dealing with low esteem,
yeah.
but now Joel is saying, hey, you look pretty today. But Joel is just like, we just friends.
Right.
But Joel is telling you what you want to hear.
Well, I think that's the caveat
okay.
for it, is that it has to be somebody that you can trust,
mm-hmm.
who you know is not seeking to, you know, get in your pants. You want, that's why I stressed godly
okay.
friendships,
because yeah,
you
yes.
want the friends who are going to encourage you to righteousness.
Yeah.
You want the friends who are going to encourage you, you know, in fact, speaking of Joel, we are our accountability partners. You
yes.
know, I want to kiss her. I want to kiss her. No, you don't want to kiss her. Sit down.
Right.
You know, I'm going to, you know, you need to stay pure. We're going to stay pure together, you know, that kind of thing. So you want a friend who is going to encourage you to righteousness.
Yeah.
You're not going to go to Nim, who's going to tell you to go do, you know, everything under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
You want those godly friendships. People are going to instill in you that sense of righteousness and correct you. And you also need to be able to talk to people when you do slip up.
Yeah.
Who aren't going to just be like, well, girl, I slipped up too. No,
yeah.
you need someone who's going to say, well, let's pray. Let's figure out what triggered that for you. You know, girl, if you get in that situation again, give me a call and I don't care. We'll pray. We'll talk. We'll whatever,
yeah.
you know. So you want to build a community of people who are godly
that
and who have good,
so
sound
important.
Advice.
Okay. So now as we talk about that, and as I was going through your book, I was like, ooh, I want to talk about this. Ooh, I want to talk about this. And then I'm like, man, we would have like a 2-hour podcast episode talking about all these things. So as much as possible, I guess I want to look a little bit as you talk about courting, since, you know, it's called Kingdom Courting.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we who are spiritual in the church, sometimes we can talk really spiritual. And so break that down for us. When we talk about courting, what does that mean as you're trying to encourage somebody? And I'm excited because I have my own thoughts on
mm-hmm.
the area of courting and what that looks like. And as I was reading, we definitely have some agreements, but
mm-hmm.
I'm just looking for something to disagree about. Just start something on the podcast. But go ahead. All right. So.
Well, for me, courting has marriage as the end goal.
Yes.
You know, people date for all kinds of reasons. Sometimes we date for the simple fact that we just want some companionship. Mm-hmm. And some people are okay with those types of relationships. But for me, I think dating implies like there's just like a lot of variety. Like I see people going on lots of dates, but not necessarily having marriage as the end goal. Okay. Where and it's okay to start out with dating, okay, you know, until you kind of figure out who you are, what you like, and what you're looking for in a potential partner. But then when you start narrowing down your choices and say, you know, we've been together for, you know, X amount of time, and we both have marriage as the end goal. So now we're both moving towards marriage. We're yeah. both, you know, preparing our families. Some people may have children, and I never suggest introducing children into the relationship too early
yeah.
because that is just such a dangerous place
yeah.
to be in. People can use your children, you know, as leverage, and then all the emotional distress that comes as a result of that for the children. So that's when you're starting to prepare your finances. You're talking about, you know, where you're going to live. You're talking about what church you're going to worship at if you're attending two different churches. And, you know, courting has just a more serious implication to it, whereas dating is kind of like I'm still playing the field. I'm yeah. still not as committed to the relationship as I am when I'm courting.
And I've really wrestled with that word dating because it does have such a negative connotation. And
especially nowadays, because people yeah. are so cavalier.
Yeah. Well, and, about but I've also found that even people can do courting the same way.
This
and
is
so they'll
true.
Call it. So it's like they'll call it, but they still do it the way of the world. You can say they'll still right. kind of do it the wrong way. And so right. one of the key things that I encourage is communication.
Yes.
One of the things I've learned is communication. So no matter what stage you're in,
yes.
you know, just communicate.
And that's we talk about that in the book.
Yeah. yeah. That's the key thing that I heard is when you say courting, it's clear
mm-hmm.
that what is our intent.
Right.
And even dating. And so I'm at a place where I know that dating is a part of people's minds, so mm-hmm. I encourage people, when you say you're dating, just remind yourself you're friends.
Right.
You're only friends. And as you mentioned, you're not at that next level. You're not more than friends
right.
until you're ready to make that commitment. Now you're courting. That relationship has right. shifted.
It's got an exclusivity to
yes,
it.
Yes, yes. Yeah. It's just me and
it's
you.
It's just me and you.
And I even encourage people, be careful even as you're dating, that you're not... There still should, it shouldn't be like, okay, well, I'm going to date like five people.
Right.
Because
how do you really get to know someone?
Yeah.
And how do you really establish trust in a relationship if
right.
I know you're going out with Shaniqua on Tuesday
yeah,
and
yeah.
Renee on Thursday and me on Friday?
Yeah, yeah. yeah. So that's definitely a great point. So as you talk about that, and I was trying to go back here into the book, how do you begin to balance physical attraction as well as intimacy? And that's another struggle area that I find singles have, is we're friends, but the things that we're doing are more than friends.
Right.
Or we're courting, but we're like, now we're doing things that married people are doing.
That's so, what I call knowing your cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs button.
Okay, all right.
So if you know that you can't handle hand-holding, being alone in a dark theater,
yeah,
don't do it.
Now, did you just say hand-holding?
I did say hand-holding.
All right, so, I okay, mean, so, okay, now, so somebody listen. On here is like, I know she did not just say
listen, because some people will be like, hand-holding is just so intimate, and it will lead to him putting his hand on her thigh,
yeah,
which
yeah.
will lead to the hand roving somewhere else.
Yeah.
If you know that you can't handle that, okay. I know couples who didn't even kiss.
Yeah.
You know, they waited until their wedding day to kiss.
Okay, now I'm going to pause for a moment because I'm just interested.
That's not Dana's rule, though.
Okay, all right. I was just wondering. I was like, because I've had people do that too, and I hear it. I'll be thinking in my mind, I'm like, okay, all right, that sounds good.
It's honorable. It's honorable.
But now, for those that are listening, you have to be obedient to God.
Right.
You have to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. And so, as you mentioned before, the cuckoos for Cocoa Puffs.
Yes.
I won't be using that unless you're here. Because I'd be like, don't think I'm cuckoo.
Right.
So, cuckoos for Cocoa Puffs, what is that button? then if it is kissing, then you need to know that, wait a minute, I we're not going to go there.
I can't handle kissing you, so we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
And the partner that wants to help you keep your integrity will say, okay, babe, we're not going to kiss.
So now if that partner, right now we're just going to say she, you know, since they always want to stereotype men and say the man. So
and women are aggressive these days. Women are aggressive. Lord have mercy. They are aggressive.
So you know, you're trying as a brother, you're out there and you're like, okay, I'm trying to stay focused. And she's just pressing and pressing and pressing. How would you deal with that? What?
You know, actually, my friend Joel had that situation.
And oh, see, there was a Joel.
Yes.
Okay, Joel might be mad that you're bringing Joel up.
Knows. Joel had that situation, and he literally had to break up with her because mm-hmm. she would not stop pressuring him to engage in those physical things that he knew were going to be pressure points for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you have to gauge it. I'm not saying, you know, break up with everybody who does that. But honestly, if you guys are really intent on dating in the proper fashion, if you're really interested in doing God's will, you're going to back off for those things. And you really want someone who's going to, like I said, push you to building sexual integrity, for lack of a better term.
Sometimes you do. And I want to talk about breaking up a little bit later. And I don't know if this is the right time. But sometimes you do have to understand that somebody keeps crossing a boundary.
Right.
And as they keep crossing that boundary, you are gaining insight into this person's character.
Because it's a sign of manipulation, too.
Well, not everybody who says who they're a Christian and they love Jesus actually are willing to submit themselves to Christ.
Right.
And those are signs like, wait a minute, we're supposed to share this common mutual agreement that we're saving ourselves, you know, for marriage. And if they're not honoring that, now, mind you, we all have
our moments.
Thank you. For those that know, I keep it real. So we have our moments.
We all have moments.
And I'm not going to sit there and say like, you know, oh, no, you'll never have those moments. But we do. But you need that other person that's going to have your back.
You got the iron has to sharpen the iron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have about a couple more minutes left. And so I want to kind of get into this thought, and I don't know if we should get into the breakup part, or you can tell me if you want to do this one. So we can talk about just breaking up and how to deal with that. And there's a chapter that you talked about. What was the name of the chapter? Breaking up is hard to do.
From the song.
And but then you also talked about, let's talk about practical ways we can ensure we choose the appropriate spouse.
Oh, yes.
So do you want to talk about the practical ways?
Talk about the more practical ways.
All right, more practical ways. Now, I know we can't get through all of them, so I want to encourage you guys to go get the book. I know it's on Amazon because I got it from Amazon. It's Kingdom Corning by Data Tyler. But is there any place else where they can
go into physically a Barnes & Noble and get the book, or they can order it from barnesandnoble.com, or they can order it from my website at danatyler.me.
danatyler.me.
Not .com. There's some lady selling jewelry. danatyler.me.
danatyler.me. Okay, so let's get into a couple of these. So if you had to pick, let's just say three. What are the three of the tips? And do I need to say them through? So we had change your view in marriage. You had know yourself. You had establish boundaries. Maintain standards. Come to a mutual understanding of expectations. Build and explore mutual.
Multiple healthy. The top three that I would say, and these are the ones that I employ myself.
Okay.
The first one is to have a spiritual objective person that you can talk to.
Yes, I like that.
I can talk to my pastor.
Yes.
So whenever I'm interested in someone, or if someone's interested in me, I always say, hey, apostle, you know, what do you think about so-and-so? Mm-hmm. And he'll say, oh, yeah, that's a good choice, or give it 6 months, or I don't know about him, or no, honey, he's going to, you know, he can't be faithful
to you.
So now,
why do you think people struggle to do that?
Because they don't want to hear the answer. Like there are, you know, because if he's tall, dark, and handsome, and he's, you know, just appears to be everything that you want, you don't want to hear that he's not the one.
Yeah.
You really don't. Yeah. And that's why it takes someone who's objective, who can look at, you know, the relationship from the outside, because it's always difficult when you're in it. Mm-hmm. You're all enamored with, you know, the smell of his cologne and, you know, all his ambitions for the Lord. But Sometimes, in fact, there was a relationship that I really, really liked a guy.
Okay.
It was just after my husband had passed away, and I thought,
that's, you know, the
lady
the
part started beeping, and okay. I said, what? Lazarus has arisen, you know? Uh-huh. Some things have awakened. And so I thought, okay, that had to be a sign, right? And so I started to get to know him, and we started hanging out, and there were some things that kind of troubled me about him. And so I went and talked to my pastor, and I said, hey, you know, I kind of like so-and-so. And he's like, oh, I'm concerned that he'll be, you know, unable to be faithful to you. And I said, yeah, that was kind of my concern. And that, so I had to, you know, shut the lady parts off, you know, yeah. It was difficult.
That's difficult.
But later on down the road, I don't want to be married to someone who's going to be unfaithful to me.
Yeah. So, all right. So now what's the second one? What's the second one?
Second one. I'd have to say knowing the Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs button
Okay.
So important.
All right.
The Bible says you cannot take fire to your bosom and not get burned. So just don't do it.
Yeah.
Know your limitations. Know what, you know, gets you in those heated. Know what your triggers are.
Yeah.
Know that if a certain song comes on, don't text him.
Yeah.
Don't call him right now. Wait till everything subsides. You know, don't put yourself in a predicament that's going to really cause you to fall.
And I'll add to it. Once you share that with the other person, are they respecting that?
Right.
And that's really important, because you want to have somebody that's going to have your back.
Absolutely.
All right. So what's your last one?
The other really, really important one is to change our view of marriage.
Okay.
So many people have this fairy tale, happy ending view of marriage that is just so far from the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
If you look at the Bible, Adam and Eve were literally made for one another. And look at the trouble their relationship.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good point. And I there's something I mention all the time, because I talk about, and I'm excited because I'm working on my book. And so,
oh, excellent.
One of my chapters is reality versus fantasy, and how we've built up this fantasy that has come from the impressions of Hollywood, from movies, from the books, from magazines. And we begin to put that on our lives as reality, and then we walk away disappointed because it don't match. It doesn't look like the Notebook, and it's like, oh, I just want it to be like the Notebook. And it's like, so that's good. All right. Well, I guess the one that I saw, and you can give me your thoughts a little bit, was, and this can kind of get us into both of it. Let me go to it. Be prepared to handle rejection with grace and maturity.
Oh, that's a hard one.
That's a super hard one.
Especially for the church. Oh, my goodness. Because there have been people who have literally left the church because someone did not want to date them.
Yeah.
And so it's so important to be mature about handling rejection and even doling it out.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
You don't have to be cruel to somebody just because you don't want to date them. Yeah. Or even if you get in the midst of, you know, the relationship and you decide, you know, to part ways.
It's not right. Yeah.
Because I've seen, you know, choir members stop coming, you know, can't worship on the worship team together.
Yeah.
Just all kinds of crazy things transpire.
Yeah. And you have to communicate. It's important to communicate and share those things. And I think that, especially that word grace, you know, be prepared to handle rejection with grace and maturity, as it can hurt, but also don't feel bad because you took that opportunity sometimes.
Right.
And so many people, they're allowing that possibility to pass by because they're fearful of rejection.
Right.
And so that's kind of what I was thinking of as I was reading this also, was that this fear of, I don't even want to say hello because what if they say no? Then they say no.
Then
no. But hey, you know, and now you don't have to walk around talking about, well, I don't know what they're going to say.
Been,
What if? And you don't want your life to consist of what ifs. And all of a sudden you're like 50 years old talking about what if.
Right.
You know, so.
And you know, as Christians and evangelists, we should be used to rejection. Are y'all going to come to church on Sunday? No.
but it's hard. It still stings
a little bit.
But you just have to have that foundation in Christ.
Right. And don't don't take it personally. Yeah. I know it's very difficult, but you really can't take rejection personally, because it could just be they're at a bad point in their life. Yeah. Or, for example, when people would ask me out just after my husband passed away, I was in no condition to date anybody. And I probably would have been the worst girlfriend on the face of the planet had someone tried to, you know, connect with me at that time. Yeah. And so I had to be able to say no, right, just because the timing was wrong.
Yeah, that's so important. Well, we're going to go ahead and close for this podcast. And so I want to encourage you, if you're listening in, if you enjoyed listening to Dana Tyler, then please check out part two, as it will be up on iTunes, or you can find it on the website at simplifycomplexity.org. And you can find it probably in a couple of days after this one posts. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast. And again, Dana Tyler, thank you so much for joining us. And till next time.
So much fun.
Where there's two or three, then there the Lord will be. Where the Lord is, then there you'll see me. If the Lord ain't going, then I'm not going. Let us be best minded with the mind of Christ. Let us love one another as you will love I. You need me just as much as I need you, because a body can't function when a body split in two. So walk up to downs, let love abound, whether it's good or bad. My family can be found. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's a family reunion, and my family's with me. In the house, come on, this is what you come for. Come on, stand up, put your hands up.